if you need a better deal, why don't you just take one like the Hells Angels? Put your foot down, let's get out of this town. Fancy seeing all of you here. Well, I don't know. Fancy seeing all of you here. Dressed up in your government gear, paying taxes, never thought you'd make it to here. And all of you mugs drinking all your government drugs. Well, I don't know, helping all your government thugs. We'll be right back.
28.
Oh, it's the football match soon, isn't it?
Hello and welcome to the Roy Harper podcast, episode number 33, published in July 2011. And first of all, happy birthday to Roy, who turns 70 on June the 12th. Many happy returns. I couldn't resist playing Hell's Angels, and I couldn't also resist keep letting it run and not talking over it. Now, we've got an incredible amount of stuff to get through this time, and I'm really pleased about that because it's looking like a fantastic year for Roy Harper News. First of all, of course, the ITV Legends gig. As you know, I went to that a few months ago now, and it was a great evening. It was, as promised, a very, very intimate event. There was a tiny studio room packed full of people. In fact, we chickened out and went to a little room upstairs where you could look through, look through a glass window. So it was a bit distance from it, but I don't know that I could have stood up for so long in such a sweaty atmosphere anyway. The performance was really good, and the champagne was free. The people were friendly. What more can you want, really? The DVD is out, and I'm embarrassed slightly to say that I'm on it, because at the end of the gig, when we were back in the free bar, they picked one or two likely-looking people to do a few quick sound bites, and I'm on the end of the DVD over the credits, enthusing it very, very incoherently, I think, and managed to trip over my words once, but I'm on the DVD anyway, which is quite amusing. The even funnier thing is that they interviewed my wife as well, and it was all going quite well until they said, you know, how long have you been a Roy Harper fan, and other questions like that. And so she sort of said, well, I'm here with my husband. She isn't on the end of the DVD, strangely enough. I can't quite work out why that is. The DVD is out and available from Amazon.co.uk for a bargain price, and you've got to have it if you haven't got it already. Beautifully filmed, really nice close-ups of Roy and his guitar work and everything. Fantastic sound quality. Got to be done, really. And I'm very, very pleased to say that I've managed to get clearance from ITV to play a couple of the audio parts of the DVD on this podcast, so we'll have a couple of tracks from the DVD later on. So if you're not already convinced that you should go out and buy it, hopefully that will convince you. Now, the other really, really big piece of news, of course, is that there's a Roy Harper gig at the Royal Festival Hall in London on November the 5th, which is Guy Fawkes Night, of course. Tickets went on sale a while back, a couple of months ago, and they're already sold out, I'm terribly sorry to say. So if you didn't hear about the gig through other channels, my advice to you, if you want tickets, is to take a look a week or two before the actual gig, because I know that the RFH seem to keep some back sometimes, and also there'll be some returns and so on. So don't give up if you haven't got tickets yet. That's looking to be a pretty exciting gig. And also there's a Nick Harper gig the previous evening in London on November the 4th. Look at Nick's site for details, and obviously I'll have all this stuff in the show notes as well. Obviously, I'm going to the November the 5th gig, and we're trying to work out some kind of suitable meeting point in the afternoon so that people of like mind can meet up and chew the fat and have a drink or whatever. So all of that stuff's being discussed on the Stormcock.net forums, if you want to have a look there. The other main piece of news is that there's a new digital distribution deal, which means that Roy's music is going to be available not just on his own website, as it has been for a while now, but also through more mainstream digital outlets like iTunes. And we had a statement from Tracy explaining what was going on, because there were some questions about it, because there seemed to be a new compilation that had been released and nobody knew anything about it. So I'll read you what she said. Earlier this year, Science Friction signed a deal with Believe Digital to release the catalogue to the digital marketplace for the first time. Compilation was required as an introduction to lead the release campaign. The rest of the catalogue will be released in batches of four over the coming months. Songs of Love and Loss is now also available on our own site in FLAC and MP3 format. I don't intend to promote this compilation to the fan base, but it is a lovely vibe and some will want it, I suppose. The download includes a digital booklet with notes and lyrics. You will see the year 2011 listed after a few of the titles on iTunes, etc. That's strictly for publishing purposes. The tracks have been remastered but not re-recorded yet. The compilation will also be released in September on CD. It will be packaged in a lovely, good quality double CD digipack with booklet, notes, lyrics, etc. We've licensed this release to Union Square Music Limited and it will appear on their Salvo label. This will be available from our online shop as well. The digital distribution campaign and the licensing of the release on CD, along with it being his 70th year, should hopefully see Roy featured quite heavily in the various media outlets. Okay, so that's really good news. I haven't actually heard the compilation yet. I'm sort of kind of interested to see how it all hangs together. Now, before we get on to more music and other stuff, a bit more Nick Harper news. A bit late really now, but Nick is doing his Avebury Rocks thing this very weekend coming. On his website he says, "My latest involvement with the Love Hope Strength Foundation will be Avebury Rocks in my home county of Wiltshire on the 9th of July. Involving a sponsored walk through the Wiltshire countryside with musical on the way and a finale concert. It's not to be missed by any Harper fans. More details about that at www.harperspace.com. Okay, now I think we'll move into the first track from the new DVD. And the track I've chosen to start off with is Highway Blues.
Look down your highway. Tell me what you see. Well, if you're down my way, could well be me. Stood on your corner, down on one knee. Can't you hear me calling for you, man? So damn easy to see. It can't be forever. It won't be for long. Don't you think that it's better we speak the same tongue out here in this world? We must surely belong. Birds of a feather, whatever song, please get me there. Can't be for far away. You shift around in your empty car. Put the highway blues in my holy shoes, and I just cannot choose what I look like. Out on the streets, or where my drum beats in between the clean sheets of my love life. Thank you. I got here from yesterday on porridge and bait, swallowing sorrow, following fate, poaching tomorrow from God and the state of homo shadow. The world no longer heads straight, but I got a good reason for being this way. I'm happy for certain, and I'm hoping to stay. Travel and trust, cross the new day, gathering dust down your highway. Can't be for fun the way that you shift, man, in your empty car. The highway blues in my holy shoes, and I just cannot choose what I look like out on the streets, or where my drum beats in between the clean sheets on Isle of Life. Traffic from the shaven insane, thumbs like a dragnet, well, she pulls like a train, she looks like a magnet, she comes like warm rain. Please give me your lips. Can't be for fun the way that you shift, man, in your empty car. Get the highway blues in my holy shoes, and I just cannot choose what I look like out on the streets, or where my drum beats in between the clean sheets on Isle of Life. La 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 la.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Now, next, I've got something a bit unusual. A guy turned up on the Stormcock forums called Alan Cynic, and it's rung a bell with me because a few years ago, when there was a digital website, Woven Wheat Whispers, who sold lots of pretty esoteric acoustic folky stuff, I came across a band called The Kitchen Cynics and bought a couple of their albums. And indeed, Alan turns out to be the very man behind The Kitchen Cynics, and is also a Roy Harper fan. And he's just brought out a vinyl LP called Wooden Bird, which I bought for the probably the first vinyl I've bought for a few years, actually. And it's got a cover version of Davy on it, which I'm going to play for you in a moment with Alan's permission. But I'll give you a bit of background about the Kitchen Cynics, first of all. Alan Davidson, a.k.a. the Kitchen Cynics, is probably one of Scotland's best-kept secrets. The unassuming art teacher only took up the guitar in his late 20s, but since the late 1980s, he has released a veritable deluge of albums, many via his own Les Enfants du Paradiddle micro-label. Deeply rooted in and inspired by his native Aberdeen and influenced by traditional folk value tales and ballads, songwriters like Nick Drake and Bridget St. John and the folk psychedelia of the Incredible String Band and Pearls Before Swine, Alan seemingly effortlessly creates beautifully crafted vignettes referencing local people, places and history. Despite his prodigious output, his compulsive songwriting disorder, to borrow the title from one of his albums, Alan's writing continues to go from strength to strength. Be a bit more from Alan later on. Now I have an archive interview for you between Bob Harris and Roy Harper. It was talking about the imminent release of Life Mask back in 1973, and I thought, given the archive nature of it and the 70th celebration, something old might be appropriate.
You seem to have put a fantastic amount into this album.
Yeah.
Have you, more so than the others, right?
Yeah, I think so. But I think it's just a... I think it's an accumulation, an assimilation of knowledge in the studio. I don't think that anybody can walk into a studio on their first record and really accomplish very much in the way of embellishment. I mean, for instance, if you're a new group starting up or something, you've first of all got to get on to intimate terms with both your engineer and your producer.
Yeah.
If you need a producer, that is. And, you know, like, that's debatable, although he's probably laughing there in the control room now. Yeah, well, Peter's there for the good vibes, you know. Peter's, you see, John and I could do it alone, but it'd take more time. But I think that I'd like—I would like to actually get into producing somebody else myself.
Yeah,
I think that.
Have you got any thoughts on that, right?
Yeah, but I'd like to. You know, I'm looking for someone who I could. You know, and I'm very. You know, I'm very. My taste is, you know, something very together, I think. But yes, I have put a lot into this record. And I don't know why we actually do it. I think, you know, I think a lot of people would say, you know, Roy, you're going backwards, you're going downhill, you're selling out, you're getting commercial, you're going, you know, it's what's happening to you, you know. But it's just like, oh, you know, I want to get into something else.
How do you feel about the Ginga Smith album now, right?
I haven't heard it for a long time. Come Out Fighting Genghis Smith.
Yeah.
The most... Actually, the most noticeable... The most memorable thing about that is that the sleeve was ruined by Joe Lustig. Because the sleeve was supposed to be a newborn baby being held upside down, you see. Still wet and steaming, you know. Bit of blood there, you know. I can remember Nicky Hopkins on that, Me and My Friends Tell You What We're Gonna Do. The last part to that song, that circle, on there, which was... I get reminded about now and again. There's, you know, you get kids in that... You know, I'm a big kid, so I'm not sort of relating to kids as though, you know, they're anything other than what I am. But I get kids coming up to me and saying, hey, that's, you know, that's great on there. And it's only because that's what they're going through at the time in their lives now, you know, that they're getting some sort of really bad parent domination that they're not digging at all, you know.
Because I still love that album very much, Roy, as much as anything, because it seemed to me...
It's a bit raw.
Oh, it's... I mean, it's got such a nice feel to it. It seemed to me that you... I mean, I remember listening to a concert that you did in Hyde Park in the summertime around that time. And you did several other things.
Was that the famous first?
It probably was in the hollow, you know,
in the cockpit.
Yeah, that's right.
That was the first one ever, wasn't it?
Yeah, and
the only known band there was the slightly known Pink Floyd, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right. Yeah,
and the other three on the bill were Jethro Tull, who were completely unknown, and T-Rex.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Who I did a concert with at the Festival Hall.
That's right.
And, you know, in the same year, that was the same year, there was, on that bill, there was David Bowie, who was, and David Bowie was into mime then, all things
right.
Was into mime.
Yeah.
And as Peter says, oh yeah, poor old Black Hill, 3 years ahead of its time, as usual, you know. Like it's a sinking ship in a way, you know. It's like, look at him smiling up there. You know, it's like, I can leave and go with some... Sharp Shark, and get myself put on the hit train, you know, and write a few little singles, you know, la-di-da. And I've seen it all happen, isn't it? I've seen it happen 1,000 times. You know, a guy's not making it, and he really wants to make it, you know, and it's not happening for him, and... Well, you know, he just gets the lipstick out and starts.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Well, it seems to me that you're in a position that not too many people are in now, right, of being able to be in control yourself of what you do. I mean, somebody, for example, like David, isn't in a position of control anymore, it seems to me.
I am in control of what I do, yeah. Mm. But you see, it's you pay a price for everything. You pay a price, and I pay a price for being like I am. The price I pay is that I'm still poor.
Mm.
But it's the best price to pay, really. I was thinking about that coming in on the train today. I was just thinking, you know, like, there's a price for this journey that's being made by me, you know, at this speed through the countryside, you know, because actually it's a completely unnatural thing to do. But I'm not paying that price. Civilization's paying it. And the debt has got to be repaid one day, and it's... It probably won't be in my lifetime, but one day it will be repaid, because in my experience there is actually a price for everything. And, you know, my own price is that, you know, I've stayed out. But I don't care, you see. I don't really care about that, because It's the price I've paid. You know. That's it. It'll come in time, maybe, you know. Maybe, you see, what I've got is something that... it is definitely something that can't be latched onto straight away. And, I mean, you know, it's all into image and hype now anyway. And I've not got I've not got an image, really. I don't know. Do you think I've got an image? What image have I got?
That's really hard to say. I think it's a complex kind of... It's not an image, Roy. It's more an impression, you know, because an image implies that somebody's put together, right, component parts of somebody and said, right, this is what we want you, and presented it, you know, projected a certain thing, which isn't necessarily true. Now, what one gets the feeling that... I mean, I know you well, you know, so it's much harder for me to say. But the impression that I get is that one forms various opinions from what you say. Everything that comes through is truth, you know, for one thing. It's not image, it's an impression of the kind of person that you are, and that's a different thing entirely, I think.
Yeah, what...
Because images, I don't think images make it at all, you know. And I was reading something of Van Morrison's, an interview with Van Morrison, and, I mean, Van Morrison doesn't have an image, you know.
No, he doesn't, does he?
But it's... I think that's fine, because it then allows you as a person and the things that you do to stand up on their own.
Yeah.
Because all image does is create a preconception, really, I think.
Yeah, then you've got to live up to it or live it down, one of the two.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which most of your hit stars find themselves having to do. Which
we were talking about tours a little while ago, Ryan, doing the things that you did with Tyrannosaurus Rex David at the time, and you're touring soon with Judy Sill, who I think is an amazing lady, and I think will come through well this year, actually, because I really like her.
Probably don't really know as much about her as you do.
Well, I've only got the album, and I've met her a couple of times.
Yeah. Was she on your show?
She was on the Monday programme, yeah. Are you going to be using other musicians to back you on the tour?
No, I don't think so. I'd like to, you see, but... I'll be lucky if I get myself together, never mind other musicians, really, you know. You know, it's one of those.
Did you think about it, though, taking musicians out with you?
I do, yeah. I often think about... I'd ask Jimmy, except for the fact that he's in the middle of a tour as well, you know. I've often thought about it, and one day I will. You see, the thing that occurs to me most is that I could get a hold of a female somewhere, because the female is like an ideal... backing member, you know, in more ways than one, probably, but, you know. you know, and it'd give me a rest, you see. It'd give me the rest that I now need. You know, even if I continue to write all the songs and, you know, do all that kind of work, I do need one. And, you know, after all, I think... I don't necessarily want a completely sleeping, creatively sleeping member, you know, but I'd have to agree with the kind of things that he or she was writing to be able to sing them with her or him, you know, or them. And I think it's on the cards one day. I think it's going to be... you see, that's another thing. It's like hanging around waiting for somebody to produce, you know. If that person came along, they'd probably join me too.
Yeah.
You know, it'd probably be one of those, and give me time off on stage when I've just been sort of through a really heavy one like Highway Blues, you know, and you know really I need a breath.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I could sort of say, okay, you know, it's your turn for a few minutes. My songs are very important to me. You know, they're very. I mean, I write them with a real, you know, with real feeling. I don't know how much feeling comes across in them when they're recorded. I think a fair amount of feeling comes across in them live.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I don't know really how much I'm getting on records these days. I suspect that there's a fair amount there because, I like what I do and I'm very critical. That's the word I was looking for before. I've been looking for it for bloody three quarters of an hour, man. Critical. Yeah, and it's, isn't it funny? It's just on the tip of your tongue, you get a word like that, and it's just missing, you know, you can't... Critical, that's the one. I'm very critical. Skeptical, but not cynical, you know.
The time is in sirens, our wolves in the moon, devouring your children with the Lord's empty spoon. Time for talking, who are calling the tune.
Sing it anymore now, so you know. So that's that done.
Yeah, but it's a whole side of the new album.
Yeah, that's
song, Roy, isn't it? And Jimmy's contribution to that track, I think, is incredible.
Well, yeah, it is. Really, it is. You know, I mean, I was really pleased with what he did. You know, it ended. It started off. Oh, you know, I can't explain Jimmy to you, really. You know. It'd take me a million years, and it'd take him a million years to explain me, you know. We both have a good laugh somewhere along the way. But his contribution was enormous, really, because just when the song needs it, he just lifts it out with that amazing tape echo guitar. Mm. And that's what it is. He's playing to himself. When it sort of goes da-da-da-dang, da-da-da-da, da, 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 da. And every time that phrase came back, he was playing another one with it.
Yeah.
And timing it too, you see, which you can do if if you're good enough to do it. And when it came back, you see, there's the original one that he played, and he was playing a harmony to it.
Yeah.
You see? And he only needed one take, you know, he only needed one take to do it, most of that stretch. And he spent most of his time, I mean, we did spend most of our time drinking tea, really, you know, and thinking about what we were going to do. But, you know, there are those moments, that, you know, like the golden moments in the studio when you think, Christ, you know, it's really worth it. And I think with him, you've got to, I know when he's going, you know, I know when I've got him going, you know, it's like when he's sat down, he's no good. When he's sat down, he's like for backing you on an electric guitar. I'm not talking about an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
He always sits down with me and plays an acoustic guitar. But to play an electric guitar, you've got to get him standing up and you've got to get him rocking. You know,
yeah.
You've got to get him as though he's playing in the front of Zeppelin or something, right? You've got to get him rocking, you know. And you know when he's going because he's swinging backwards and forwards, you know. And you say, there you go, Jim, he's going now, he's going, you know, turn the tape on, you know, get it going.
Open, fuzzy
of a delicate blossom of an ocean of electricity. Spell is for conflict, whose quest is strength, whose war
most of mine end up as jigsaws now, mm-hmm. you know. Like, and I said, was that all the way through? Was it? You know, was it all? He says, no, it was a jigsaw. You know, and they all are. You see, I mean, that Highway Blues of mine, God. But if you can imagine what went on behind getting that, you'd be amazed. You know, if you took a film of it, it'd be like one of those. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those speeded up films of the sun coming up and going down in the same street.
Yeah.
You know, with the bus that comes about six times an hour, you know, and sort of stops, you know, and that's where sort of Pete leans over and does a sort of some kind of cue on the top for, you know, bringing 16 into 5 or something, you know. Oh. But it's so good, you see, working like that. I mean, I don't even smoke anymore. You know, I can't because of my state of health. You know, because it dehydrates me. But I get high in there doing those things. You know, you just get high doing them. Mm. And like Highway Blues is one of those. There's various on the record. In fact, I think the All Ireland is like done in one take. We put the bells on afterwards, and we put the harmonica on afterwards. But that's one day. That's one day's work. That's like back to the old days, almost. Mm. And I think the next record will be, too. I think the next record's like back to more of the old days in that way. I think there's going to be a lot of more simplistic type of love songs and general... Yeah, just love songs. I'm not going to give away what I'm going to call it at the moment because somebody will nick it, you know, they're bound to. A lot of my ideas get nicked, man, you have no idea. Yeah, but, you know, it's going to be like that. And, I think the next... look at this. Look at him. I think the next one's going to be like that, but I think this one is... as far as I got with the Stormcock type of production thing, you know, and I think health reasons as taken into account as well, that's as far at the moment as I'm going to go with that kind of producing. Mm-hmm. I think next time it's down to getting the lads together and saying, okay, let's take, let's do 5 and take the best one, you know, so that there's none of that fiddling around and there's a completely new thing happening. But above and beyond all that, Bob, I think that the songs mean more to me than any recording. And I think actually people listening to me should probably bear that in mind. I mean, the way that the record's produced is an indication of the type of lunatic that I am. Rather than where the songs are at, because I think the songs are much more real than the way they've been recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I always sort of rely on them. I always go back to them. I never go back on anything that I've said, and that's why I sort of carry on writing and say, you know, well, that's not a good song, I'm going to ditch it. It's like it's coming out wrong. It's, you know, it's not a good idea. It seemed like a really good inspiration on the night that it first occurred to me to do this. But the way the words have come with it and the way the thing is, it's just mediocre. And it's just like filler. And I won't have that, you know, at any price. It's the songs and what they mean and what they mean to me and what actually they mean to probably quite a lot of people out there, you know. They're actually real. I think we should probably end there. I don't know.
I think that's a good place to stop. Yeah. Exactly on that.
Right. See you around, Bob.
I hope you enjoyed that. I can't get over how young Roy sounds. Okay, next I'd like to play one more track from the Kitchen Cynics, and this time it's going to be The Gleam in the Heron's Eye from the album of the same name. For a little bit of feedback about episode 32. And Adam Leonard said, "Cheers, Paul, for playing the track and for the kind comments. The 27th, the day the podcast came out, was my birthday," which of course was entirely deliberate. He also says, "As for whether once was released on vinyl, it certainly was. I still have my copy along with the Roy Harper white plastic carrier bag it came in." No Celebrity says, "Nice job, Paul, as always. Got through it all and especially like the live version of Burn the World at the end, which reminds me, I still have to buy one more live Roy and once was out of stock about a year ago when I tried to buy it. I was amazed to hear Tobin had started with HQ just as I had, although I knew it as When an Old Cricketer here in 1970s America. Bit of a time warp though. Watched Doctor Who last night, by the way. We're still waiting for the new Doctor over here. Third cycle with Tennant recently began. Also interesting to hear you discuss guitar playing. I had violin for 5 months at age 8, 2 guitar lessons and a year of piano at 13, but didn't really start playing guitar until 21. Now, at 51, it's all starting to come together. So there's always hope for you and your son, Paul, especially if your wife doesn't hear your attempts to kill the cat or practice every night. Okay. Kenny Wisdom says, great podcast, by the way. I was at work completely down after a lovely weekend in the metropolis. See what I did there? I'd put Roy's set from Saturday into my iPod as a playlist, trying to emulate the moment with as much live material as I could muster. People were asking me what was wrong. Nothing, I said, without much conviction. Truth was, I wanted to be anywhere else but work. That's what great weekends do to a chap. And he wrote up, then I remembered I had your podcast to listen to right at the end of the day, so I tuned in and zoned out all the others. Still got oodles to listen to and really enjoying it. So if you ever need encouraging, Paul, just know that you're doing your bit to keep the economy on track. And finally, John Barker says, great podcast, thanks Paul, and after catching up with all 32 podcasts over the last month on my iPod while driving and cycling to work, I can report that I've enjoyed them all and am now at a loose end with my appetite for Roy's music, if anything increased. Would love to have got over to the adjacent island for the Metropolis gig. Looking forward to hearing how it went in the next podcast. Keep up the excellent work, John. Well, thank you all very much for the feedback. I really appreciate it. Now, some brief credits and copyright. This podcast is issued under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 2.0 UK, England and Wales license, which basically means you can share it with others, but you can't change it, claim you made it, or charge any money for it. The Roy Harper music in this podcast is used by kind permission of Science Friction Limited and is not for copying or redistribution. The two tracks from the ITV Legends DVD are credit copyright ITV Studios Metropolis Group, and for strictly promotional purposes only, please don't try and rip them out of the podcast and play them, burn a CD or anything. You can find out more about the Kitchen Cynics at their page on the Folk Police site, folkpolicerecordings.com/kitchen-cynics.html. If you want to send me feedback, you can do as many others did this time round and leave a message on the stormcock.net forums. There's a podcast sub-forum that you can go into there. You can send me an MP3 should you want your dulcet tones to appear on a future podcast. Or you can call the voicemail number 01223850282 in the UK. Or if you're outside the UK, +44 1223 850 282. And there's a 30-second limit on those, so you'll have to be quick. Okay, and we'll finish the podcast with one more track from the ITV Legends, and it's a very short one. No joke, it's me and my boy.
I never know what time of day it is on my battlefield of ideals, but the way she touches and the way it feels must be just how it feels. Ah, but it's got a little better since I let her sunder. And I never know what time of year it is, sitting on top of the fire, but the robin outside is to hunt and hide in the cold frosty shire. But he knows just what goes in between his cold toes and his warm ears, and he's got no disguise in his eyes for as love as she nears. Thank you. spreads her a shelter. She takes the tall skies. They helter-skelter along the same size. And she wakes my days with a glad face. She fakes and says I'm a hard case. She makes and plays like a bad ace, carrying my ways into scarred space. And she knows me well, yeah, but what the hell only time can tell. The horde strides out of the chosen spawn. The devil rides out and the heavens yawn. And he knows me well, yeah, but what the hell only time can tell. Day. What a day to play at living. What a mess we make. What a trust we break. Not king. Children, oh, how we fail them, oh, how we nail them. Sunset, she's my clone. King is my name. Darkness, she's my love, my lover. We live in shame. silence that has taken my place. On the plains of the morning that I just could not face. Asking you these questions, telling you these lies, enveloping direction, developing disguise. Open to suggestion, but I'm closed to all my eyes. I'm dead on arrival, right where I stand. Dead on arrival, right where I stand. Dead on arrival, right where I stand. Space is just an ashtray, flesh is my best wheel. The atmosphere's my highway, and the landscape's my next meal. I need my own Good Friday, and I'm trying my best to fix the deal. I'm dead on arrival, right where I stand. Right where I stand. Dead on arrival, right where I stand. I am the new crown landlord of all beneath my star, queuing up for doomsday in my homesick motor car. Born before my mother, but I before my pa. I'm dead on arrival, right where I stand. Dead on arrival, right where I stand. Dead on arrival, right where I stand. And the cuckoo, she moves through the dawn fanfare. The dew leaves the rules in the magic air. I feel a finger running through my nightmare's lair. I feel most together with my nowhere stand. And you know me well, yeah, I'm a what the hell only time to where we're going.
Hello, friends. I've purchased this time on the radio to talk to you about a great problem facing America's young people. For too long, we have exposed our precious youth to dangerous levels of rock music. Recent tests show a strong parallel between communism and rock and roll.